Welcome to Radio Gorgeous, Gorgeous Wellbeing. Today on the show, we welcome back to Radio Gorgeous, Jackie Lynch, with her latest book, The Happy Menopause. Welcome, Jackie.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Absolute pleasure. Josephine's here as well. Josephine
Absolutely.
And Donna. It's a joint one.
Exactly. So please introduce us to your book and the premise of it, because when you were on before, we were talking about Vavavoom, your 10-day energy diet to boost your energy levels. But this in particular, you've written for menopausal women.
Yes, absolutely. Because, well, to put it bluntly, there just simply isn't enough information out there. And I think that the menopause is one of those things we're starting to dare to talk about it a little bit more. There's starting to be features on it, programs and so on. But your average woman, you know, we just put up and shut up and assume you've just got to deal with all the symptoms, whatever they may be. So in my nutrition clinic, I was seeing repeatedly women who were coming to me and who didn't really know what was going on with their body. I think particularly during the perimenopause, which is the premenopausal stage, when actually all the fun and games actually start. And it can cause a lot of confusion because women think, well, I'm too young, it can't be the menopause. So what's happening? Am I losing my mind? Why am I so forgetful? Why am I so angry? There are many different symptoms. And of course, there are so many ways that diet and lifestyle can make a huge difference to that.
Excellent. I do want to talk about how the book is organized, because I think that's really helpful. I think how you've arranged it makes it very useful for everyone, because not everyone's symptoms are the same, and yet everyone does experience the menopause. It is, as you say, it's not an illness, it's a phase.
Absolutely. It's one of the few certainties in life, isn't it? Apart from, what do they say, death and taxes. You know, we're going to have a menopause. Well, I think that's the thing, because I come from a perspective of personalized nutrition, everything I do in my clinic is personalized. I think it really speaks to what I do, because no two women have the same menopause. And I think one of the things that was striking me quite forcibly a couple of years ago is that a lot of the stuff that we were hearing about were horror stories. And, you know, we just need to put that in perspective a bit, because yes, about 20% of women do have a really rough time. And then there's about 20% of women who sail through it and don't know what the fuss is all about. And then there's most of us in the middle who've got some but not all symptoms of varying severity. So the menopause is not a one size fits all. And I think that not only is it different for every woman, but I think the one thing we can say about every woman is that it's a pretty difficult, stressful time. Midlife, you know, we're busy. So the way I structured the book is to make it as pick and mix and simple as possible, so that you didn't feel, oh, I've got to read it from start to finish. I mean, I'd love it if you did, but that actually you can just go straight to the symptom that worries you and see what you can do about it.
What you have done is brought us very nicely to my next question. Well done, you. So talk to me about stress, because that is really one of the things that kicks us in the teeth in the menopause. And it's so vital.
Doesn't it just? Yeah. I mean, the thing is with midlife is that most women, you know, professional women are usually under more pressure because they've got more responsibility in the workplace. If you've got children, then you've probably got the fabulous clash of the hormones where menopause meets puberty. Or you might be worrying about your kids at university, which frankly right now is a huge concern for anyone with children who are away. Then you've got the aging parents. I mean, we're not for nothing, are we, the sandwich generation? So most of us are worrying about looking after them or trying to work out how to make sure they're looked after if they're at a distance. And then one of the key things about the menopause is that decline in the hormones, when you know the estrogen, the progesterone start to drop, actually leaves you headspace, because you know we've been hardwired to nurture, reproduce since puberty. So with the decline of those hormones, there's suddenly space for you to think about other things. So women start to question themselves, and they're thinking, you know, am I in the right job? Am I in the right relationship? There are so many questions you can ask yourself. So it's a hugely stressful time, and therein lies the problem, because the one time in your life where you don't want to be stressed is the menopause.
Why don't you? I mean, I feel stressed quite a lot. Why don't we want it in the menopause? What does it bring it on worse or?
Well, yes, it does. I mean, stress makes your symptoms worse, to put it in a nutshell, because essentially, and as you mentioned at the beginning, Donna, this is not a medical condition. This is it's a transitional phase of life, and women have been going through it for millennia. So, you know, the body's an amazing thing. It's a super top performance machine. And of course, it's got a backup plan for when our ovaries stop producing estrogen and progesterone. And what happens is that the adrenal glands take over. Now, the adrenal glands are two small glands, peanut-shaped glands, sort of that sit just above the kidneys. And their job post-menopause is to produce weak forms of estrogen to take over, to make sure that we are fit and well as we transition through and then on to through midlife and old age. But the problem is that the adrenal glands also produce the stress response. And so what have we got here? We've got stress taking over, because that will take precedence. So the more stressed you are, the less able your adrenals are to produce the estrogen you need. So inevitably, all those symptoms, many of which are associated with low estrogen, are going to be worse.
So how do we, oh God, the $20 billion question, how do we avoid stress and keep calm? I mean, I do yoga, I meditate, I eat greens, you know, I mean, what else can I do to help?
Well, I think, Jackie, you do have the sort of nutritional answer is balancing our blood sugar.
Ah. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And I wish I could take stress away. If I could wave my magic wand, wouldn't I be a millionaire? But, you know, I'm not. But there's an awful lot that nutrition can do to help regulate the body's response to stress so that you feel better able to cope with the challenges of daily life and to support the action of the adrenal glands so they can get on and do all their jobs, not just some of their jobs. And so that's why I've got a chapter called If You Only Do One Thing, because one thing, it really is all about balancing that blood sugar, because every time your blood sugar drops, your body's releasing those stress hormones. And as we've already seen, women do not need any extra stress hormones at this time.
So it's about eating more protein, I imagine, and avoiding sugar.
Yeah, essentially, that's it in a nutshell. So the body's programmed to keep levels of sugar in the blood in a very narrow band. And when it goes above or below that, that will create a state of emergency. So things that spike the blood sugar typically would be sugar, sugary foods, cakes, cookies, chocolate, but also refined carbohydrate, things like white bread, white rice, white pasta. And of course, the stimulants, you know, the caffeine, the alcohol and nicotine, they are all going to disrupt blood sugar as well. So too much of any of that will trigger a hormonal response. Insulin's released, and insulin's job is to clear it all out, send it off to the liver to be stored. But of course, because it's an emergency reaction, it doesn't carefully calculate how much to remove, it just hoovers up the lot. So in a short space of time, blood sugar's dropped. And of course, that's when the stress hormones come out. Because it's dangerous not to have enough sugar in the blood, it's our primary source of energy. So the stress hormones take action, they generate the cravings, and so it can become that seesaw, if you like, that roller coaster throughout the day of highs and lows of blood sugar and all this excess stress hormones. So yes, it's reducing the sugars, reducing the refined carbohydrates, replacing them with complex carbohydrate, which are full of fiber. So brown stuff, brown bread, brown rice, brown pasta, vegetables, oats, all great sources of fiber. The body burns through those more slowly, and so the blood sugar remains more stable. And then you rightly mention protein, because that's the secret weapon. It's like the silver bullet of blood sugar. It slows down the release of the carbohydrate, keeps you going for longer. So the trick is, essentially, and if you don't remember anything else, remember this, balance. You know, have a combination of protein and fiber with every meal and snack. And that way your blood sugar remains stable. You're not going to crash and have all those extra stress hormones. And of course, you know, as a result, you're not going to be eating all the foods that make you fat, because like it or not, you know, weight gain's another one of those little gifts that the menopause gives you.
So we can have eggs for breakfast. What would you have for lunch? Tin tuna or something? And, you know, I'm just trying to think of things on the go, you know, hummus, is that protein, you know?
Okay, so great sources of protein. Of course, there's the animal proteins you've mentioned. There's the meat, the fish, the eggs. I mean, dairy is an okay source of protein, but I think the most concentrated sources of dairy, I'd say, would be cottage cheese or authentic Greek yogurt, which which are particularly high in protein. Otherwise, of course, lots of plant proteins. So things like nuts and seeds, quinoa, soya, of course, which is contains phytoestrogens, which naturally help to balance hormones. And then, of course, the pulses, lentils, chickpeas, beans, and of course, hummus coming from the chickpeas. So one of the things I'd be thinking about at breakfast, I mean, an egg is great. Don't let anyone tell you that, you know, you can't have an egg every day, because you absolutely can. They're practically a superfood. But if that's a bit stressy for you in the morning, then you think, oh, I don't have time to make an egg. You can stick with your normal cereal, your muesli, whatever it is you're having. But something as simple as a spoon of ground flaxseed can make a huge difference. And that's a sort of triple whammy of brilliance, because it's, well, actually quadruple now I think of it. It's a great source of protein. It's a great source of fiber. So it's a blood sugar balance duo there. Then it's fantastically rich in omega-3. And we know that omega-3 is very important for hormone balance and for really important things like great skin and hair. And of course, also flaxseed is one of the comp foods that contains these phytoestrogens called lignans, which again, just like the compounds in soya, help to balance the hormones. And there's some studies, they're a bit erratic with studies, but some studies do suggest that, you know, having flaxseed every day could help to reduce hot flushes.
Whoa, right, we're on it.
I did on the back of that, I was in a rush the other morning, and I did have soup for breakfast that was left over from dinner, but I didn't have any pumpkin seeds, as you also suggest, maybe a tablespoon of pumpkin seeds, but I did have ground flax seeds. So in it went, in with the soup, and off I went.
Fabulous.
I've been going ever since.
Yeah, but it was vegetable probably. Yeah, really good.
Squash.
Really.
Yeah.
Now, just tell us, because I would like to know, what would have for lunch then? I know we're going through it. But...
Okay, well, it sort of depends on where you are, although frankly, most of us are at home at the moment, of course.
So
if you're a sandwich person, then just think about what you can do. You make sure that the bread is brown, so it's whole grain bread, which, you know, complex carbohydrate. And then make sure that it's, you know, stuffed with protein. So maybe it's something like, you know, it's a complete protein, like a chicken sandwich. Or but if you add a bit of salad in there, then that's going to add more fiber and keep you going for longer. So don't do tuna mayo, do tuna salad, for example. Mm. If you like to have soup, and we are getting into that, then think about protein rich soup. So not just mushroom or carrot and coriander, but either do Donna's sneaky trick of adding in a bit of flaxseed, which is brilliant, well done. Or, you know, if you're making it yourself, chuck in some lentils. So think about, you know, a lentil soup or a bean soup or a chicken and vegetable soup, because those soups are the ones that will keep you going for longer. Otherwise you are going to crash, you are going to have the munchies mid-afternoon.
Brilliant. God, I'm all set up. So what else? Because Donna, I'm going to read the book tonight, you see, because Donna read it, you know, has read it this week.
I was going to say, because what I didn't realize when I went through some of the symptoms, realized, oh my gosh, like brittle or weak fingernails and itchy skin. I've had itchy skin forever.
Wow.
And then realizing that, you know, there's so many sort of things you can do to boost. I mean, I was dismayed to read that you're not a big fan of rosé wine, unlike myself. However,
we live off it.
Apparently, you're not.
I'm sorry,
but that Brussels sprouts and cabbage and broccoli are my friends there. And then that the final chapter is sort of a nutrient guide. Talk us through a bit about the sections 3 and 4.
Okay, so section 3 is all about the symptoms, because the thing about the menopause is that we have estrogen receptors all over our body. So the symptoms, it's not just about hot flushes. Yeah, it can be anything. It can be headaches. It can be brain fog. It could be the itchy skin, the dry skin. Vaginal dryness is a huge one. Aches and pains, digestive issues. I mean, literally, the estrogen receptors are everywhere. And that's why it can be such a whole range of random symptoms that you might not even think about as being associated with the menopause. As you said, you're wondering why your nails are breaking all of a sudden. It's all about that estrogen. So what I wanted to do, because again, I know women in midlife are super busy, is just give them the opportunity to go straight to the symptoms. So I've tried to list as many of the different symptoms or the most common symptoms that you can get, everything from the itching, the hair loss, the vaginal dryness, the mood swings, the hot flushes, as much as I could, so that you could just go directly to that section. inevitably there'll be something I haven't mentioned because, you know, I can't, the book had to be finite, but that's where you'd go back to section one and look at the blood sugar, because that's a one-stop shop in terms of, you know, support. But the reason I did the nutrient section at the back was that I realized as I started writing it that I was slightly repeating myself in each section when I was writing about the nails or the skin or whatever, and talking about magnesium and then explaining what magnesium was and explaining the sources. And then I thought, oh crikey, you know, if they read this one and then they read that one, they're just going to, it's all going to be massively repetitive and actually going to make the book enormous. So my very clever editor happened to mention that I could do.
Fantastic.
So the end section.
How's been response with your friends, you know, that have read it and, you know, the people who are going through the menopause? Tell us.
Well, it's not out yet, of course.
Oh! Sorry.
That's right.
One of your editors.
It comes out on Tuesday the 13th, so we've not got long to go. Really positive, and we've had some previewers read it, and I've had some really great feedback, which is fantastic. A lot of people really complimented the layout, and I'm thrilled about that, because I really did want it to have that pick and mix feel, so that it wasn't just another massive tome you had to work through, and then just sort of think, I'm too tired, I simply can't. So that sense of being able to dip in and out. And then I've had some fantastic feedback about the final section, which is where I do drill down into the nutrients. So I've sort of go through each of the vitamins, you know, A, B, C's, et cetera, and then the minerals like magnesium and zinc, because I reference them so much throughout that way you can go and look at the section and see, okay, this is the source of magnesium, this is what magnesium does for me. If I'm going to supplement, these are my limits and I need to be careful. So all the things that can help you sort of identify what you might need and how to go about getting it.
Okay, here's a question, because a lot of us are on hormone supplements. What's your feeling about that? And
yeah, but I'm on HRT and so are you. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So, I'm not on HRT as it happens, but it's a personal choice. So hormone replacement therapy, I think the most important thing is that people actually know what the options are. I think that you shouldn't go into this blind and you shouldn't be entrenched in your position, which is, oh, I'm definitely going to have HRT or there's no way I'd have it. I think it's really important that women actually look at all the angles. They need to look at the severity of their symptoms, they need to look at the risk factors associated with it in relation to their own medical or family history. They need to look at the fact that actually put that against the risk factors of lack of estrogen leading to greater risk of cardiovascular disease and osteoporosis and so on, and weigh up all of that. And the only way to do that is to be informed. So I think, you know, every woman should go to the GP, every woman should look at the NICE guidelines and read what the advice is. And every woman should also know what diet and lifestyle can do. So going back to what I said at the beginning, that sort of 20%, 20% and the rest of it in the middle, I think, you know, probably one 20% would sail through without it. The other 20%, no way could they survive. And then the middle bit, that middle group, it's really up to you as to what you feel. But what I would say is that, like it or not, diet and lifestyle is still really important, because HRTs can be an amazing thing. But it can only go so far. And if you are still having a dreadful diet, a dreadful lifestyle and driving yourself really hard, the HRT will not work as well as it could. So thinking about your diet and getting that right will really underpin it and support it.
Fantastic.
No, that's hugely helpful. And thank you so much for coming on Radio Gorgeous again and sharing, you know, the huge amount of work that you put into this book, and your passion for nutrition. Tell us, where can people find you and your clinic?
Oh, thank you. Well, I mean, it's a pleasure to be back, and I am really passionate about this, because, you know, this book's been burning away inside me for a while now, and I'm so glad I've got it out there, because I think it's really important to have this information there. So people can, they can buy my book, which is called The Happy Menopause, Smart Nutrition to Help You Flourish. They can follow me on social media at wellwellwell UK. I've got my own specialised podcast called The Happy Menopause. And I've also got my nutrition clinic. So if you want to find out more about that or check in for a personalised nutrition consultation with me, my website is well-well-well.co.uk.
Thank you so much. So The Happy Menopause is out now, because we're going to put it out the day it comes out. And it's by Jackie Lynch, and it's published by WatkinsPublishing.com.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous, and we can't wait for your next book.
Oh, well, thank you, but one step at a time.
Thanks a lot.